who here likes to talk a lot? Talking. Everyone's looking at family members quite accusingly now. Talking is probably one of the things that we like to do quite a lot, really, when we think about it. I mean, technically, we could live without talking. It's not like eating and drinking and sleeping. But without talking, life would be pretty bland and boring, wouldn't it? Oh, do you know, we use around 16,000 words every single day. In fact, it's actually been proven that women speak more than men, believe it or not. They use around 20,000 words, whilst men manage to squeeze in about 12,000. I'll stop before I get into any trouble. You probably know between 40 and 80,000 words in your vocabulary. Think about that, all of those words that you probably know. But how much do we actually think about what we say, about what comes out of our mouths? Do we use our words as well as we could do? Words can have a really big impact, often more than we think they'll have. James chapter 3, verse 5 says this. It says, "Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark." Something we can say can kind of trigger off a sequence of events which can quickly get out of control like a forest fire if we're not careful. And we saw a bit of this last week, didn't we, when we looked at dishonesty and lying and the effect that lying can have. Words are powerful. Politicians battle with words. Huge decisions are settled by discussion, debate, and argument. People are convinced, persuaded, manipulated maybe, encouraged, and defeated all through words which other people use. The old-fashioned phrase, "sticks and stones can break my bones, but words could never harm me," is quite convincing. It's quite a clever use of words, but actually, it's a load of nonsense, really, when you think about it. Words can definitely hurt people, often in a way that's actually much deeper and longer lasting than physical pain. Some people set about to destroy others purely through words. The Bible says in Proverbs, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." Words can be used to either build people up or they can be used to tear people down. But ultimately, speech is a gift from God. We can use this gift well, or we can use it badly. And we're about to read tonight's passage from Ephesians 4, which looks at bad and good use of language. But before we do that, I want you to quickly get into some groups, just for a couple of minutes, and I want you to think of examples of bad use of language and why you think that they are bad. Okay, so get into small groups, just think about some ways, bad uses of language. Brilliant. Let's get back together. Can people just shout out just a couple of examples of things that they think are bad use of language? What things would you associate with bad use of language? Not actual bad words here. just general things.
Gossiping,
yeah, definitely. Any others?
Lying,
yeah. Threatening, swearing,
putting people down.
Yeah, these are all good things. Andrew said something quite an interesting observation. He said often in churches there's two things that people say. He said, and you know that afterwards what's coming isn't going to be good. He says if people say one of them's "with the greatest respect," and the other one he said was what was it,
Andrew?
Yeah, I say this in love. Yeah, let me just encourage you. And then sometimes you just know that what's coming isn't going to be that great. Well, a lot of these things that we've talked about, a lot of different things, are covered in Ephesians 4:29 to 32. And some of them are also covered in Ephesians 5, which we'll look at a bit later as well. So let me read Ephesians 4:29 to 32. The words are on the screen. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. What comes out of your mouth is the main thing people will use to measure what you're like. For Christians, when it comes to growing in holiness, which means being set apart by God and becoming more like Jesus, our words are crucial. We must strive to be Christ-like in what we say and sometimes what we don't say. But so often we fail to meet these standards. So often we can end up using words as a weapon, often underestimating how powerful that weapon is. Sometimes we're just careless with the way we talk. And tonight we're going to look at how what we say affects our relationships with others and our relationship with God. In verse 29, Paul, the writer of Ephesians, says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths." We don't really use the word unwholesome very much probably in day-to-day conversation. I don't know if it's in one of the tens of thousands of words that you know or not. But essentially, the word here really means something that's not good for you or not good for others, something that's bad. And Paul goes on to give some examples of unwholesome talk. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. And we can see how this follows on from what we were looking at last week, when we looked at not letting the sun go down on our anger. We looked at how grudges, when we hold grudges against other people, they can poison our hearts. It can poison our relationships. It poisons the church. And yet again, one of the things Paul is really concerned about here in this passage is our relationships. And he shows us that the way we treat one another and the way we talk to one another is really important. It's so easy, isn't it, to be bitter and to grumble and complain about someone else. It's so easy to talk about someone behind their back. It's so easy to snap at someone in a moment of rage, maybe snapping at our parents. It's so easy to brawl and argue with someone else. And we even find those times when our hearts are just filled with malice towards someone else, filled with real kind of bitterness and anger and resentment towards somebody. But Paul says, we can't do any of these things. We need to get rid of it all. This is really serious now. We need to throw it all out. And we cannot let these things reign in our thoughts and impact our relationships anymore, because we're in Christ. And if you don't think these things are serious, then listen to these words from James chapter 3, verse 6. He says, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. We saw last week of how Paul often referred to the church as the body of Christ. Earlier in Ephesians 4, verses 15 to 16, Paul writes this. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And in these verses, Paul's saying, because Christ is at the head, because he is Lord of his church, he's Lord over us in our lives if we put our faith in him. And because it's his name that we lift on high, and crucially, as believers, it is Jesus who we represent, we therefore need to let his transforming love flow through all our relationships and change us. For it is his love which builds us up and holds us together. If it wasn't for Christ's great love for us, none of us would be here. The church wouldn't exist. We'd all be dead in our sins. But we're growing to become the mature body of Him. And that means growing in His love. And as we do that, we'll grow in holiness. And as I said before, and I can't stress enough, this is crucial for us. Jesus said in John 13, 34 to 35, "A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Jesus repeats "love one another" three times to get the impression that this is important. We become more like Jesus by and through having loving and strong relationships. And holiness is worked out in our relationships. We shouldn't have relationships that are the same as the world's. The world's relationships are based on feelings and fads and self-interest. But instead, our relationships should be based on the love of Christ, which unites us as we grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Christ. So how we talk to one another and about one another is probably the most important factor in building strong relationships. And loving one another is crucial. And that's why we must get rid of all the things that Paul listed in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. But if we look again at verse 29, this verse doesn't just contain a negative. It doesn't just say, don't do this. It also contains a positive. It says what we should do. It says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." We've been given a gift of speech by God. And a large part of the reason for that is so we can build others up according to their needs. So if someone needs encouragement, we should encourage them. If someone needs prayer, we should pray with them. If someone just needs someone to talk to, just has no one to talk to or is lonely, we should be going up and we should be talking to them. If someone comes into the church for the first time and they're looking a bit lost, we should go up and make them feel welcome. And in doing that, we're meeting their needs and we're benefiting them and we're welcoming them in and showing them the love of Christ. This also means if someone in the church needs correction or rebuke, if they need you to say a stern word about something that they're doing that isn't right, maybe someone in the church, if you hear someone talking about someone else behind their backs, then speaking the truth in love, we should be ready to speak out. And we should be ready to say that's not right. If we just go along with that person, we're not actually building up that person according to their needs. We're not benefiting them with what we say. So our language is crucial to our relationships. But I want you to very quickly discuss, we'll just do 1 minute discussion, of whether you think there are times when some kinds of bad language are just harmless. Is there any kind of bad language that isn't going to harm other people or harm us in any way? Okay then. I won't ask you what you came up with this time, but instead I want us to watch a video that might offer you a perspective on this. It might be something you've already observed. Maybe it's a different perspective, but Ben's just going to pop on a video for us. God gave us mouths and the gift of language so that we could have meaningful relationships with other people. But first and foremost, God gave us people this gift so that we could worship Him, so that we could be in a relationship with Him. But people turn this blessing into a curse. In fact, they turn from blessing with their mouths to using their mouths for cursing. Rather than building others up and worshipping God, people started tearing others down and blaspheming, dishonouring God. God hates sin. And the penalty for all this sin, which hangs over the whole world, is death, eternity in hell. But God loves the world so much that he made a way for us to be saved from this punishment. In fact, God sent Jesus to earth to completely restore our relationship with him. And as we learn about holiness, this incredible truth has to be right at the center, that Jesus, who was God's Son, who was God himself, gave up his life for us on the cross so that all our sins could be forgiven, so that every harmful action, every wrong thought, and every bitter word, every thoughtless word, every resentful word could be paid for by his sacrifice, so that our death sentence could be paid for through his blood. In Jesus, not only can we have forgiveness, but a relationship with God through which he wants to transform us and make us completely new. He loves us just the way we are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. And so he wants us to grow in holiness through knowing him more, through loving him more. And as we continue to reject sin and allow God to transform us through the Holy Spirit who lives in us, we'll become more like Christ. And this transformation has to affect what we say. Listen to these words from Jesus in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. He says, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." And so in Ephesians 5, verses 3 to 4, this is why Paul says, "But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these things are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." You might think obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, it's just a bit of a laugh. Surely these things are harmless. But take into account what Jesus said in Luke 6:45, as we've seen. And you'll see that these things actually reflect what is going on in a person's heart. So a heart filled with praise for God will overflow from that person's mouth in praise. A heart filled with obscene thoughts will overflow from that person's heart in obscenity and obscene language. A heart filled with godliness will overflow from that person's mouth with wisdom and truth. But a heart filled with worldliness will overflow from that person's mouth in foolish talk, in gossip and lies. A heart filled with perverse thoughts will overflow from that person's mouth with perverse humour, with coarse joking. What we say reflects what is going on in our hearts. If we're mindless and thoughtless in the way we speak, then this says something about our relationship with God and our focus on him. The Holy Spirit doesn't lead us to swear or to tell dirty jokes. And those verses that we saw at the end of the video really sum up why language is important. That with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? And of course, fresh water and salt water can't flow from the same spring. It's one or the other. And if we spend our whole time swearing, shouting at our parents, gossiping, lying, telling rude jokes, and then, as those guys did in the video, we then come to church and then sing worship songs thinking nothing much of it, then we're being hypocrites. Our worship isn't honouring to God. And this is really the vital point in all this, whether the unwholesome talk was aimed at someone or not. You see, in this situation, praise can no sooner overflow from someone's heart as fresh water can suddenly bubble out of a saltwater spring. The spring of our heart has become contaminated. Our worship has been polluted by bad language And we're no longer worshipping in spirit and in truth as Christ taught us to. In fact, our worship isn't honouring God because it's based on this contradiction in our lives. And this is why all bad talk grieves the Holy Spirit within us. Verse 30 said, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." In using language badly, we're ignoring the leading of the Holy Spirit. We're misrepresenting Christ, and we're spoiling the worship of our lives. But yet, we all do it to some extent. It's so hard to keep our mouths under control. It's probably one of the hardest things about following Jesus. And in fact, James 3, verse 8 says, "No human being can tame the tongue." So what can we do? Should we just give up? No. We can come before our Father and we can ask for his forgiveness. If I come to church, as I've done on occasion, and I've just had an argument with Izzy and I've snapped at her, then by God's grace, I'm still able to worship him because through Jesus' death on the cross, I'm forgiven and I can turn away from my sin and I can be convicted of that sin and go and apologise with Izzy and make my peace with her. But I have to repent from that sin. I have to acknowledge my failure. I have to realise that there's a problem here in the first place and ask God for his grace. And then I can ask God to change my heart and my mind as I seek to be led by the Holy Spirit in the way I use my words. See, no human being can tame the tongue, but the Holy Spirit can. And this is why we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who can change our hearts and give us mouths overflowing with praise for God. The Holy Spirit can redeem our mouths for the glory of God. We all long for God's presence and his touch in our lives. So let's not grieve the Holy Spirit with our language, but be willing to be transformed by him. Because good, loving use of language which builds others up and glorifies God is the overflow of a heart which loves others and loves God. It's the mark of a true worshipper, which we all should long to be. It's the mark of someone who values other people and values God above all else, so much so that they wouldn't want to say a single word that might grieve him.